Oh, it is time.
It is time.
For the bread and wine.
For the bread and wine.
Take and eat.
Womp, womp, womp.
Hello, hello, friends. It's so good to be back with you today. My name is Seth.
My name's Carl.
Amen. Well, we hope you're doing really well today. You know, this is going to be a conversation, and we like to have a conversation on this podcast and really conversate about what the Holy Spirit is communicating and doing in our current lives, and partner that with the Word of God and what we've been learning in the Scriptures. And so we invite you again onto that journey as we conversate, and we'll see where the Lord takes this. But bless you, bless your home, bless your family, bless your work, bless your school, bless your car. May it continue running.
Amen. Get that car, Lord.
Amen. How you doing? How you doing, Carl?
I'm good, man. Just spent some nice time praying together, and that's always a great thing to do before the podcast. Doing well.
Amen. Well, I want to start off today. Oh, there's a phone. If you hear the ding, praise God. We're super, what do you call that? Organic here. So if you hear dings.
That's true.
It is. It's true. We're not.
You won't hear any more dings, though.
Amen. Well, what has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this week, Carl? What's been the theme or motif of what he's been saying to you?
Yeah, man. Wow. So honestly, like I just have to, it's a little sobering, like what he's been speaking to me this week personally. The phrase that I've just been meditating on is let love be genuine. And right now what the Lord's really doing in my life, I think, is really just concreting and cementing me into my identity as his son. And helping me to learn to just let love be more genuine in my life, like in the relationships in my life. Just a big part of it for me has just been learning to rest in him. I had a friend, one of our mutual friends, had a really, really appropriate word for me this week. And it was really simple, and it sounds kind of like you may hear and just be like, oh, duh, you may not. For me personally, it was revelatory. It was as simple as, hey, Carl, God, Jesus did not save you and set you free so that you could do ministry. He saved you and set you free so that you could be with him and know him. And obviously ministry flows from that place of intimacy. I just received it as God kind of saying, hey, son, like align your heart with mine. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. First seek the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Man, there's so many things in life that I'm looking forward to doing. There's businesses, there's ministry, there's missions, there's marriage, there is, the list goes on. You know, I'm looking forward to having a home. I'm looking forward to having land. I'm looking forward to having children. And all those things are beautiful things. For me, though, I'm reminded of John 6:29 that says, this is the will of God, or this is the work of God, to know him whom he has sent. And, you know, I think so many times in my life I've been like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Am I doing enough, God? Am I doing enough? Like, am I doing the right thing? And I can get so caught up in, like, my own works, and if I'm doing things well enough, and am I pleasing the people in my life around me? And when I get into that place, man, everything gets really busy. I feel really hurried. I feel really heavy. And it's really challenging when I'm stuck there or feeling stuck there to slow down and just be with God. And that may sound really simple, but that's just like as real as it gets for me this week. Like it's just been slowed down, son, and I've had to remove certain things that I love to do. Even spending time like in fellowship with Rooted right now, for example, right? Like I'm going to have to take that time and spend that with the Lord, meditating on his word, learning how to have fun with God. I know these are simple things, but like I want to learn how to know him in a deeper way. And he's answering that prayer, but he's saying you may need to remove some things so that you can just be with me and know me. And learning to know him through his body, the people he's put in my life, seeing how they're interacting with Jesus, seeing how they're burning in love for Jesus. All these things are working together for my good and for his glory, and so that I could simply rest in him, because we've asked for that, man.
Amen. And you know, what you're talking about happens to a lot of people that start to follow Christ, that, you know, they get involved in church, hear the gospel, and their life gets radically changed and they get set free from a lot of things. And then it's kind of commonplace for the church or your pastor, teacher, preacher, whatever, leader, your spiritual leader in your life, to see the change that's happened in your life and then immediately just be like, okay, God wants to use you now. And that's true. But what I've seen is people, you know, step right into doing so much ministry, and they're at every event and they're at every thing that they possibly can be ministering. God called me to minister. I'm serving here. I'm serving there. I'm doing homeless ministry on Monday. I'm doing the women's ministry on Tuesday. I'm doing Bible study on Thursday. Like, it's just, and then everything gets completely filled up doing ministry, and then they have no time to actually be with God. And it's kind of this mentality of like, I'm God's worker. I'm God's worker. I'm God's servant, which is, again, that is a kind of a true thing, right? We are God's servants, but you're also his son. And so if all you're being is a servant, you don't have time to be his son. I was kind of getting this picture of like, let's say your life, if we're kind of thinking about this in the prodigal son story, God is your father and he loses you, and you go and you become a slave somewhere. God finds you and you're his son, right? You're his son. He's your father. And he says, you're no longer a slave anymore. I just bought you. Come to my house. Come to my house and live with me again, son. He wouldn't make you just be a slave and servant and be like, okay, now you're part of my servant and slave class. Like, you're my son. Like, yes, you're going to serve me. And yes, you're going to help me with things. You're going to work with me and we're going to do this thing together. But ultimately, you are my son. And I've made you a son, not a slave. So, I mean, that mentality and coming out of that, coming out of agreement with that is huge. I'm really thankful that you're coming into that.
Amen. And just as you were talking, I was reminded, like, he started with a feast. Like, go grab the fattened calf, you know, like, let's have a party. Like, my son is home. And it reminds me of that other moment where Jesus gets baptized. And when he comes up out of the water, they hear the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And just remembering that before anything else, like, he delights in us, you know? I mean, I look at the way that you love your son and you have great delight in watching him grow and learn. Your wife, bro, she had this really beautiful post the other day just about how somebody mentioned to her, like, if you bring your kids along to do the things that you're doing, it might force you to slow down, but maybe that's the whole point. Maybe the whole point is to slow down so that you can be with your son, and he can be with you. And it's just reminding me of what we're talking about, of like learning to slow down and receive that beloved identity as sons who love to serve, right? You know, when we're walking in that identity, it's a blessing and a privilege to serve. You know, you're working really hard right now, my friend. Like, you're putting in work for real, like, for your family, for the kingdom of heaven, for your friends, bro. Like, you're putting in work because you're a great friend. You're a great friend to me, man. You're a great friend to all the people in our community, dude. You put other people before yourself. And And even in the midst of all the hard work that you're doing, like this morning, where you're like, I'm fulfilled though, man. Like I am. Like, do I always want, like, does my flesh always want to do all these things? No, but you are operating that beloved identity as a son, and you're honestly, bro, imparting wisdom to all of us on what that's going to look like, man, because a lot of us, I know, have dreams and visions and endeavors that Jesus has given to us, and, you know, learning how to do that from a place of beloved identity, I think, is the only way.
Amen.
To stay full and not burn out, you know.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, bro.
Yeah.
Huh. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And we here grow up, we grow up hearing this statement, and we've talked about this before, like, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. And everyone's crying out, bro, God, use me, please on, use somebody. Me. But he may be looking back at you saying, well, you're my son. I don't want to use you. Like, what son just uses come his on, father,
bro.
Or what? Excuse me. What father just uses his son to,
so good.
To just do everything?
Like, come on.
If the only reason I even had my son was to say I just want to use him
come
as
on.
A laborer in my house. I just want him to work for me, and I just want to make ugh. Money off of him. Or I just want to accomplish my purposes and goals with him. I just want to use him up. Like that's not love. Like, that's not love. Like, but love is, hey, I love my son, and I want to be with him most often. Like, I want to have relationship with him. I want to conversate with him. I want to pour into wisdom into his life to show him, this is how you live. This is the best way to do this. Let me show you how to do this over here. Oh, you're hurting right there? Let me fix it. Hey, let me come alongside you. What are you passionate about? Let me help you. And then in response to that, my son is saying, oh my gosh, my father loves me. I love him so much. I want to be with him. I want to talk with him. I want to ask him for wisdom because he has so much to give. Oh, I want to help him with his endeavors. What's he doing today? How can I help him? How can I be part?
Come on, bro.
And so it's
bro.
This beautiful relationship that's back and forth respect. And it's not this, let me use you or I'll be your slave and just do it. Like it's a beautiful father and son relationship. So, and that's the life that we're invited to partner with, you know? And so if you're just running around doing ministry all day, every day, just all the time,
stop
trying to work your way or approve yourself to God. It's like, no, you are already approved. If you're just doing ministry so you can prove yourself to God or to others, then just stop it. Just stop it because you're going to run and faint. You're going to run and faint. You're going to walk and grow weary. And that's not the Lord's promise. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And what I've found is that if I'm walking in his will, the ministry comes to me because the Father brings the ministry to me naturally and organically in the things that he's asked me to do. But and this has happened with the Pharisees too, right? Jesus was basically saying to them, because of your laws, what you've done, you've said that you have to pray and you have to spend all this time doing religious activities, that when an actual spiritual need arises, when your family asks you for help, for money, in the name of your religious activities, you tell them no. You tell them no. And Jesus was basically chastising the Pharisees for living like that and saying, you've got all these rules and strict regulations about religious activities you have to be at and festivals and things that you've put on yourself that you're neglecting the actual spiritual needs that are in your normal life, that are in your family. Your mom and dad need help. Like, you're not even helping them. Like, you know, so this has kind of always been a problem for, I don't want to say like religious people, but that's what it is. And for the church is to just focus yourself so much on doing religious activities and just whatnot that you neglect the people that you love. You neglect the things around you. You neglect the things that the Lord is calling you to do. You neglect the passions that he's put in you to pursue in the name of ministry, you know. And I'm tired. I live like that. I don't like living like that.
Yeah.
There's no joy in that.
Yeah. Man, I have a great friend and a great brother. We do. And he's actually my landlord. But they have some some beautiful children, and one of their sons, I mean, all of them really, the little ones, but one in particular, dude, like, he's always, always wanting to be with his dad. His dad comes home from work, and boom, here come the kids, and they want to help. They want to serve. They want to be blessings to the kingdom, the land that they live on. They want to partner with their dad. And when you're in that place of beloved identity, you don't have to strive to do the works of ministry. They flow naturally. Mm-hmm. So by all means, press on from that place of resting in him. And let love be genuine in the ministry that you are functioning in. Let love be genuine between you and your father. And I love what you said about not just simply being used. Like, that doesn't feel good. I don't want to just be used. I want to be in love with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Like, I want to be doing everything I'm doing from a place of genuine love, because it's easy for people to tell the difference, you know? It's easy for us to tell the difference. The Bible says that they will know us as his followers by our love. And so I guess, yeah, the encouragement is to just let love be genuine in the ministry that you're doing. And God's grace is an amazing thing. His love, dude, is so deep and powerful that he'll work even in the midst of our needing to grow in certain areas, and he accounted for all of it. You know, before we were born, he chose us. Before we did anything, he chose us, you know, to be in relationship with him. He called us to himself. He's the lamb who was slain before the foundations of the earth. That means before Adam sinned, before Eve sinned, like, he had already made the sacrifice. He already had committed to being in this relationship with us, this covenant with us forever. And so, yeah, man, it's a really important thing to get rooted and grounded in that love, you know?
Amen. And just going back to the ministry thing, it's just a perspective shift. 'Cause I used to be so in that mindset of like, I've got to reach everyone. I've got to minister to everybody. And I'm kind of this mentality of like, I have to save everyone. And, I wanted to just drop this in here. Billy Graham, I heard this the other day. Billy Graham, who, as we know, preached to millions of people all over the world, known as America's pastor. If you think of ministry or you think of a minister, he's probably one of the top three people that come into your mind. They asked him, kind of towards the end of his life, if you would have done anything differently, what would you have done? And he said a couple of things, but one of the things he said was that he would have spent way more time with his family. He would have spent way more time with his family. And think about how much ministry he did. Think about how much God, quote unquote, used him, right? He said he would have spent more time with his family. He was always gone, always doing something. And so my point in this is, we can neglect the most important part of who we are in the name of ministry.
Woo!
In the name of, I'm serving God. And we can neglect the most important ministries that we have around
Jesus,
us. Our children, our wives, our husbands, our families. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine this? If every family within your church, within your body, was committed to raising up their children, was committed to teaching their children the word of God, to teaching them how to pray. If every father and every mother was committed to their marriage, was committed to making it work, was committed to their children on providing the words of God to them and raising them up in that, and really taking hold of their families, can you imagine what kind of church body
Jesus.
You would have? Can you imagine what the kingdom of God would do if we simply just started with our families, you know, and we prioritized our families? That's just something that, God said, be fruitful and multiply, right? be fruitful and multiply. So that he put an emphasis on family. Family was always the plan. Family was always his desire, was to see families birthed on holy. The earth, to be holy and in love with him, not to see families that are broken, not to see you know, children that are hurting, not to see moms and dads that are just fighting and just always angry, and that was never his plan. So my encouragement is, it maybe take a break from all the running around doing so much ministry,
man.
If that's
yes.
you, and we're not speaking to everybody right now, but man, how can you minister to the ones around you today,
that
your family that you love, and spend time with them and teach them, and spend time with your kids tonight reading the Word of God, spend time with your wife tonight praying together over your children and praying over your futures and praying over your career and asking the Lord, what do you want from us right now? How can we partner with you? What are you speaking? And inviting your family along on that journey and really leading your family. Your whole circle of influence will change. Like, and so all the ministry you could think about doing, like, it will, everything will explode if you take care of your family first. I'm telling you. Something that's the Lord's been speaking to me this year. And just having that perspective shift. Because we think that, for some reason, at least I thought this, I thought if I'm ministering to people that I don't know, or that, you know, that I've never met before, or that are in a certain life situation, or they're homeless or whatever, that for some reason that ministry is more worthy, or that ministry is more validating,
right.
Or I'm better, I'm serving God better if I minister to people I don't know, but it's like, what about the ones nearest to you? Like, does God just forget about those people? Like, no. In fact, that's your main ministry, actually. So I'll stop my rant.
Nah, bro, it's really, really, really good. It's not just a rant. Like, it's something that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking over his church in these last days. There's such an attack on family. You look at all the brokenness in our society and our culture today. It's traceable back to broken families, broken relationships, father wounds, mother wounds, you know. Mm-hmm. That lie of I lack something started somewhere, you know. It's a lack of love, a feeling of being of a lack of love, you know. And that's just something, honestly, bro, like, that the Lord's really been speaking to me about as well. To learn how to take time, and obviously for me, I'm in that preparation mode. But yeah, dude, I'm totally with you. There's a verse that I was gonna look up really quick.
Okay. As you're looking that up, I was just gonna share another thing. The Lord's been speaking to me lately is just confidence in Him, confidence in the things that He has given me to do. For example, this business I'm starting. It's easy to dwell on the possible negatives. My friend made a post yesterday. Worry is a deposit on a problem you may not even have. Worry is a deposit, is a down payment on a problem you may not even have. And even the scriptures talk about dwelling on things that are pure, that are praiseworthy, that are excellent. And so confidence, I believe God wants to instill in us confidence. And confidence is not placed in our own ability, but it's placed in the faith and promises that He's given us. If God has promised you something, you can confidently step into it. Without a doubt, you can confidently step into it. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything He calls you to do, you can do it with a surety, with a surety, with trust. And He may be calling some of you into that, like He's calling me into it. And it's scary sometimes because you're like, well, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing. But He's like, just do it.
What does that look like, bro? Like, right now?
I mean, right now I've started this construction business, and obviously there's so much to construction. I mean, there's so many different avenues of what you could get into just with a residential house per se. and so many things, so many skills to know and learn. And so as I'm kind of stepping into this, it's like, you know, got somebody that wants to remodel their kitchen or remodel, you know, that redo their roof or, you know, anything like that. There's so much skills and knowledge that you need just to, like, I mean, changing a light bulb. But what about taking off the light and rewiring it? And, you know, once you get to that point, most people don't know how to do it, right? But once you get under the house and you look at the subfloor and the joists and the plumbing and replacing all that and shingle, like, there's so much to learn. And so my mind is kind of like taking all this in, and it's like, wow, like, I know maybe 1% of what I could know. And it's scary to say, okay, I'm going to step in and do this job with feeling like I only know a little bit. But the Lord, over the past week, the Lord's been instilling confidence in me, like, you can do it. Like, you may not know everything, but you will figure it out. And that's kind of how this world is. It's like, you may not know how to do it perfectly or exactly the way it should be done. But guess what? If you do it, I'll show you how to do it in the midst of it. So it's kind of just like trusting him enough to say yes to things that I'm like, I don't know 100%. You know, I don't know everything about this. I've never done it before, or I'm not sure how this works, but guess what? I'm just going to try it and trust that he will take care of it. Have confidence. Because if you go into like a job, and this applies to life, if you go into a job and you're like, yeah, you know, you're telling the customer, you know, I think I could probably do that, or I've never done it before. I mean, I might be able to do it. We'll see. They're going to be like, well, no, I don't want you touching that thing, man. I'm going to find somebody else. But if you go in there, I'll get it done. I'll do it exactly what needs to be done. I'll make sure you're happy. I'll make sure that it's done the right way, and you'll be satisfied. Well, yeah, okay. When can you start?
Amen.
It's the same way with anything. Man. So that's kind of what's been happening on the inside of me lately, and I'm just now kind of starting to say yes to.
Amen. To that. I was just thinking about, too, a little bit earlier, you just had a really encouraging word about looking around and seeing, you know, the reality that many other people have done similar things to that which we are called in different areas, whether it's in business or our careers or even families, seeing how people have raised their kids. And there's a lot of people who have done things, you know, on the outside looking in pretty well, you know, who may not have access to the living God and the infinite wisdom and the love and the protection and the favor of the Lord. And so how much more shall we succeed, you know, like in, I think it's in Daniel 1:20 maybe or something like that, where it's like they did things 10 times better. They were 10 times wiser. They were 10 times better than all the other like people around them because they had been with the Lord and received their favor from him. Yeah, dude, it's just a beautiful thing. There's definitely, I think, been, you know, an attack on our confidence in stepping into, what God's called us to. So, I appreciate that, honestly, like even in my own life right now, like it's just a timely word for me, and, it's forcing me to confront unbelief or doubt. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, just how doubt and faith both require a belief. When you're putting your belief in doubt, you're putting your belief that the worst possible outcome is going to occur. But when you're putting your belief like in faith, like when you're in faith, like you're putting your belief in the best possible outcome, like the God outcome. And so my prayer is that we would just step out of doubt and step into faith, you know, in all things, in all areas of our lives, man. It's really important. Yeah.
Amen. And that goes back to the roots of our faith. Abraham believed God.
Come on, dude.
And it was credited to him as righteousness. So he believed God, you know, and that's really what our whole faith is built on. Do you believe God?
Jeez, man.
That's it. That's the very foundation of this whole thing. Do you believe God? If you dumb it down.
Yikes. It's very simple. Yeah. Wow.
Did you have a verse?
Yeah, I mean, I did a while ago. I don't know if it's still appropriate. Basically, it's in 1 Timothy 3. It's, I mean, going back to the family thing and just managing our households well, it's just talking about the qualifications for overseers in the church in 1 Timothy 3. And one of the things he talks about specifically is like being a good manager of your own household. For if you're not a good manager of your own household, how are you supposed to be a manager in the household of God, you know? And so it was just reminding me when we were talking a little bit earlier just about how important it is to make time to manage your household. It talks about having children who are submissive. And I think that that word, it has like a negative connotation a lot of times in our culture, that submissiveness. What if it's submission and love, though? You know, like it should be our joy to submit to Christ, right? From that place of a loving relationship. And so going back to like cultivating that love relationship with your own son, letting him know that he's loved, like he'll desire to submit, he'll desire to yield to you because of your example and because of how you have modeled and portrayed for him how you submit to your father, right? Because from an early age, from the time they're born, even before, you're ministering to your kid through the power of prayer while they're in their mother's womb, and even before, right? Mm-hmm. And we have grandparents and all that stuff, but we submit to our Father in heaven. And so when we live our lives that way, in that love relationship, it's imparted to our children because they replicate what they see. Justin, one of our brothers, he's always saying, you can only reproduce what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't reproduce something that you are not. And so that goes to, parenthood as well, I think, right? Like when you're in that love relationship with your Father in heaven, submitted to the leadership of God in your life, submitted to, Christ, like our children and our children's children will see our submission from a place of love and genuine desire. And then in turn, that pattern will be replicated in their earthly lives, and they'll submit to us as their parents, you know? It's just this beautiful representation or trickle down effect of how God imparts, you know, his word to us, his wisdom to us, and then it's replicated even in our own families, you know?
Amen. It's all connected, huh?
Yeah.
It's like one big spider web. Our lives are like a web. Dude, what would you call this podcast? Because we've just bounced around.
That's what I was literally just thinking to myself. I'm like, wait, how did we get here? And like, where are we going again?
Where are we?
Where are we? For real, Lord. Maybe that's a good name for it. Like, where are we? Like, where are we in our relationship with the Lord? Are we submitted to him? Are we in a place of hurry? Are we in a place of that beloved identity? Because honestly, a lot of the things that we're talking about, it kind of stirs those questions up of like, am I in rest? Am I in beloved identity? Am I striving? Am I believing God? Like, where are we with all those things? Because honestly, man, even as you're talking about like the simplicity of this thing, this relationship with God, like, do I believe God? And if I'm looking at and reading the word of God and I'm reading things like rejoice, like take joy when you endure trials, when you experience trials of various kinds. I mean, that's just a simple example, but like, is the word a mirror? Is the word a mirror? Am I believing God? When I look at the word of God, am I seeing a reflection of myself, right? Because the word, as we behold him, transforms us from glory to glory because we were predestined to be conformed into the image of the Son of God. Like, we're actually supposed to look like Jesus, guys. Religion will never tell you that. At least in my experience, religion is kind of like, just muster up all the strength you can, do your best, and, you know, one day when you die, like, then everything, you know, then you'll be free from sin. But Romans 6 talks about we're free from sin, that sin will have no dominion over us. And so, I don't know, for me, man, like when I'm asking myself that question, where am I in believing God? Like, am I believing God at his word? Am I taking him at his word? And so for me, Like we were talking about a little bit earlier, I'm just really called in this chapter to meditate on the Word of God. Like, that's abundantly clear, because there's places in Him, there's places in beholding Him, there's places in heavenly places, man, that I would like to experience with Jesus, in relationship with Him. And I believe that as we behold Him in His Word, as we meditate on the Word, like, love becomes genuine. Like, He actually does what He says He'll do. He actually transforms us and conforms us into the image of His Son. Like, He paid for that. He paid for that. He paid for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm going to close out this joint with scripture. And it's Philippians 2, starts in verse 12. This is from the Passion Translation. If you don't like the Passion Translation, I don't know. Whatever. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you into trembling in His presence.
Hallelujah.
God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, holding out the words of eternal life. I haven't labored among you for nothing, for your lives are the fruit of my ministry and will be my glorious boast at the unveiling of Christ. But I will rejoice even if my life is poured out like a liquid offering to God over your sacrificial and surrendered lives of faith. And so, no matter what happens to me, you should rejoice in ecstatic celebration with me. Friends, I do not want to run this race in vain. And so, if you hear anything today and hear our encouragement to take behold of your beloved, to look at Him and to follow Him and to obey Him, and to live in holy awe of God, trembling in His presence, He will continually revitalize you. He will continue to implant within you a passion to do what pleases Him. Continue to live a cheerful life. Do not complain. Do not let there be division among you. Be faultless. Be pure children of God. And live with your King. So I just bless you with those words. And thank you for tuning into the Bread and Wine podcast. And we will see you next time. Well, we won't see you. You'll hear us next time.
Amen. Love you guys.